complementary power moves that you can do in the office or on the field or wherever your octagon or dojo of life happens to be. On the House, courtesy of Emerson Dameron, LA's number one avant-garde motivational speaker, if you see somebody you want to get some leverage on and that person asks you if you're having a nice day, say the best day of the rest of your life. They may not like you, but they will damn sure respect you. If you realize that you've said too much and you regret what has tumbled out of your mouth, say to the assembled, I trust you because you are wise enough to keep my secrets. That will shut them up good. This is Emerson Dameron, LA's number one avant-garde motivational speaker and host of Emerson Dameron's Medicated Minutes on K-Chung, kchungradio.org, medicated-minutes.com. I love you personally. Levity saves lives.
I don't feel like being judged today. Normally, I'm responsive to criticism. I try to be aware of what's going on in other people's experiences and how I can affect that in a positive way. Sometimes what other people are experiencing for me is an alarming lack of conscientiousness because I do tend to get stuck in my own head. I have a rich inner world. I have since I was a boy. And it's seductive. Sometimes I get in there and it's hard to totally be aware of what's going on in other people's experiences. But I do try. I do take feedback. I'm very considerate. I'm generous. Right now, I don't feel like dealing with the criticism. I've had a rough couple of years, very weird, very turbulent. And over the years, I've had a lot of friends who relate to each other largely through ball busting. I came here from Chicago and I had a number of friendships that were based largely on the practice of sitting around and talking smack about other people in the room. And when I moved to the West Coast, I found that I had to sand off the edges of my sense of humor a little bit. People were not as open to sarcasm and things that sounded mean-spirited. I think it was just a different register, a different way of relating and assumptions about what's underlying the little games that are being played. Right now, I don't feel like playing games at all. And I don't need the judgment. I'm aware that it's happening. I would ask you to keep it to yourself. Because I'm tired, I'm frustrated, I'm barely holding it together right now to do this show. So maybe save it for your little Instagram private chat or your own interior monologue, which may be more mean-spirited and not as rich as my interior monologue. But that's your thing. That's your business. For right now, let's keep it that way. Because I don't really feel like dealing with the criticism, the hectoring, the ball-busting, any of it. I know that's part of your personality. That's how you relate to the world. I know it comes from a good place. I think you're basically a good person. Right now, I just don't feel like dealing with it. I ask my own little child deep inside what he needs. And what he needs is not to hear from your little child deep inside for at least the next hour or so. That's what I ask. Either leave a nice 5-star review that is not particularly detailed. You can just say it was cool and let it stand that way. Or don't say anything at all. That's what I'm respectfully asking you right now. I get a lot of criticism. I get a lot of tough love. I'm open to it. It's a key component in how I've developed as a person. I like to surround myself with people who are honest to a fault, who err on the side of sincerity, and offer constructive criticism, and point out things that I don't miss, thanks to them, that I would miss if I were left entirely at the mercy of my own cognitive biases and erroneous beliefs about the world and sense of my own place in it. I know that we don't perceive reality. We can only see our maps. Our maps are not the territory, and it's our obligation to help each other out, giving each other access to what's really going on. And I honor you for that, for all the times that you've pointed out the ways in which I was making a fool of myself. I deeply honor that. May you be happy, may you be healthy, may you be safe and protected. May you live with an open heart, and may that right now guide you in the direction of putting a sock in it and just letting this happen and not giving me the kind of static that I sometimes get from you. For the next hour or so. Long enough to get through this show. It's been a rough, weird couple of years. For me and maybe for you. And I will give you the same thing. I will end here my criticisms about your behavior. Sometimes it can be unnecessarily abrasive, but that's the last I'm going to say about it. And we're just going to chill out and hang out and give ourselves hugs, rock back and forth if we need to comfort ourselves, do some tapping exercises to ease off of the fight, flight, freeze physical reaction that happens when we perceive a threat. Because I'm not a threat to you and you're not a threat to me. It's all love here on Emerson Dameron's Medicated Minutes, a production of K-Chung, kchungradio.org, 1630 a.m. If you're in the vicinity of Chinatown, here in Los Angeles, California, the United States of America. The dedicated site for the show is medicated-minutes.com. The background music is by my friend Chris Rogers. Everything else is by me. My name is Emerson Dameron. I am the writer, producer, director, creator of Emerson Dameron's Medicated Minutes, who is solely responsible for its content. Levity saves lives. Now let's ease into the show. As you might have picked up on, I'm feeling a little bit worn out, burned out, not full of juice as I can be sometimes. I'm worn down from my regular job, the one I do to make money. There's been a big ongoing project, a campaign that has been taking up a lot of my time and energy, working out the details of that. And that has used up some of the energy that I would perhaps prefer to put into other projects. I often tell myself, Emerson, you have to keep doing comedy. or tragedy or whatever this other quote-unquote creative stuff is that you do, you have to keep doing that in order to keep your sanity so that you can have a day job. But I find that that is... the positive effects of those practices seem to be at least a little bit contingent on getting some traction, on creating stuff that I'm proud of, that other people enjoy. Whether I'm writing skits or doing stand-up tragedy, live storytelling kind of stuff, or writing 10-minute plays or whatever it is that I'm doing. Right now, I'm not really sensing that traction is happening. I haven't been particularly overjoyed with most of the stuff that I've created over the last few months. I've been working hard, perhaps going a little bit overboard, which has landed me with a whole lot of rough drafts that need a whole lot of work until I can offer them up to you. And I'm just having to be patient with the process. And I'm having to practice some self-love, self-care. Maybe corny, but I think that self-love, well-practiced, is one of the most revolutionary things you can do in a society that is geared toward making you feel a sense of lack and a need to spend your money to get more stuff you don't need. I think honoring where you're at and appreciating how robust your experience is and how much you got going for you, that's revolutionary stuff. So I'm focusing a little bit on that because it's hard work. There's quite a payoff. And I've found that a little bit of that helps grease the wheels for the other stuff. And right now I need a lot of bit of that because I'm a little bit stuck in other areas feeling that way. It helps to feel like I'm getting traction in my creative efforts. Right now I'm not feeling that too much, so it's not adding too much. So I'm slowing down, taking it a little easier. If I find that I'm spiraling out, I can go to the cards for mindfulness. I pull one up and it tells me boredom is a fabulous thing. Nothing is a better indicator that there is more fun to be had than when we get bored. The first thing we can do is look more closely. If there doesn't seem to be much going on, then we simply up the magnification, zoom in a little bit, get into the grain, into the details. If we start to look for interesting things and for more detail, then we will see it, and something that was once boring can reveal itself. If that doesn't work, then look at the boredom itself, because that can actually be pretty interesting, and I do find that's a little bit true. A major component of my survival through the more difficult times has been my ability to zoom out, to go meta, to take a bigger picture and ask myself, what is really happening here? On a bigger, more zoomed out perspective. But I think in instances of ongoing frustration, of deadness, of lifelessness, persistent grayness, and washed outness in your activities, especially if you feel like they're supposed to be fun, it can serve you better, or differently at least, to go into the finer details, to zoom in, to get in there and see what's going on the molecular level. Because infinity goes both ways. Ever in, ever out. Ever larger and ever smaller into increasing worlds of detail So practice zooming in. Practice zooming out. Practice checking out if you need to. You don't have to do all of the things that you've promised yourself today. And most people aren't able to work like that. So in all likelihood, you need to give yourself a break. As I've asked you to give me a break, I ask you to do likewise for yourself. To extend that same kindness, charity, thoughtfulness, patience that I've requested from you. I want you to have that as well. I think when you increase your supply, you'll have a lot left over for yourself. And that is what I wish for you more than anything else. Even if you want to keep being a jerk to me, if you're nice to yourself, that's job number one here on Emerson Dameron's Medicated Minute. One of the things that is increasing my ability to stay patient with myself is that I have been told by reliable sources that I got a lot of love coming my way. I have been accepting the messages of spirit guides and ancestors into my life. I did some magical rituals recently. I did an egg sweep where I got three white eggs and ran them over my body and asked for my pain to be eased, my fear to be resolved and taken away from me, and for my heart to be cleansed. And then I consecrated the sand with ash. I took a nice long swim in the ocean. I buried those eggs. I buried with them some pretty severe fight, flight, freeze kind of business that I've been dealing with for the last couple of years. And maybe that'll help. I'll find out. The point is that I'm taking action. I hiked up into Topanga Canyon and did a few more rituals. I took a nice walk in the wetlands outside of Marina del Rey. I've been out in nature, communing with green things. And I've been open to the possibility of magic in the world. Sometimes it's hard for me to take that seriously. I don't always feel as though there are these unseen magical forces that have my back. I can sometimes default to a more cynical, more physicalist view of things. I know in my heart that there's more going on in the world than that. I think it's beyond our wildest understanding. I think that some of the most interesting findings in science are so weird and wonderful and rich in their splendor and detail that they That alone is something to get a sense of awe, of mystical importance about when you're beholding it and comprehending it. I don't know if you really need to believe in magic. I think if you really get into science, there's a lot of magic in that. But I have been sensing in my life some forces beyond what I'm used to, and I've been developing a relationship with those forces. I think it's high time. I think a lot of my reluctance to grow that part of my life in the past came largely from self-pity, from the habit of mind that special things don't happen to me, that my life is not really interesting enough, and that it just isn't going to happen. But you know what? I'm erring on the side of optimism in my behavior as much as I can. I am getting out there. I am trying new things. I am taking risks. And we're going to find out what happens. I'm told that I have some love coming my way. And maybe this show will be a memorial to less interesting times in the past. It's possible that next time I do it, things could be different. Things could be a lot sexier and a lot more interesting. I could be really feeling myself. Or things could get a lot worse. There's some pretty scary cards in the deck right now. I'm concerned about the drought and the heat that are coming to California. When I was up in Topanga Canyon, I was looking for a black rock. That's part of a bigger story that I'll tell at some other time. But I noticed that I kept seeing what looked like really cool rocks that were black. And my eyesight's not that good. So I'd get excited, and then I'd pick up the pieces that I saw, and I would realize that they were actually charred wood. And there's a lot of charred wood and a lot of charred stuff up in Topanga Canyon right now from previous fires. And there are more on the way. This is going to be a gnarly fire season. That's a probability approaching a certainty. So the world could be different in any number of ways next time I do this show. This will be a time capsule regardless. I'm told that one thing with confidence is you can fake it to make it. That you can intentionally behave in a much more confident way and get results in the form of real confidence from doing this. And I may be giving that a try next. I may be just fixing my outside and seeing as an experiment if the inside follows along with that. The thing is, you will not know if I come out extra confident in the next episode of Emerson Dameron's Medicated Minutes. It could be that things really turned around for me. That big shipment of love, long delayed, made its way to my doorstep and I unboxed it, relishing every little moment of that process. And now I really am feeling myself the way I've been wanting to feel myself for a long time. It could be that, or I could be faking it. Probably it'll be somewhere in between. Or things could go totally off the rails, and I could totally spiral out and not be taking care of myself, not doing the things that I can do to make things a little bit better, like going to the cards for mindfulness. But I am going to do that right now. When having a conversation with someone, just listen. Ooh, that feels relevant. Too often, a so-called conversation is actually two monologues, with each person just waiting for the other to finish. There are a few things as generous as listening deeply to a friend. Listening with our whole mind and our whole body. Receiving their sharing with our presence. Oh, that tells me something important. That tells me that I really have just been speechifying at you for the show up until now. So I'm going to change gears. And I'm going to pose some questions that might provoke some thought on your end. So let's take a deep breath into our bellies. And now breathe out all of that business that's going on in the day-to-day. And now I'm going to create opportunities for you to get to know yourself a little better. When you think about yourself, what would you change about yourself if you could? Would it be internal, external, circumstantial? Would other people be involved? Would the world need to change around you? Or is there something you can change in your own psyche, in your own makeup, that would make some interesting differences? Here's another one. What motivates you to work hard? And I can tell you, when I think about the ways that I'm proud of myself over the last few years and the ways I've improved, I do think about my work ethic. I have been steadily employed for the last 5 years, which 5 years previous to that is something I never thought I'd be able to say. I have put my head down and gotten on the grind and proved to others, and perhaps most importantly myself, that I can stick to things and do them well, even if I hate them. Because how you do anything is how you do everything. So I think if you're stuck in a job that you don't like, which is something I can relate to and have been able to relate to on many occasions, I would advise you to do the best job that you can. That served me pretty well. Don't wear yourself out. You don't want to do that anyway, even if you're doing things that you love. Burnout's going to screw that up. So be easy on yourself, but do the work and do it well, and then you'll know that you can when the chips are down, when it matters. So I would advise working well on anything, working hard on whatever is in front of you. But what gets you excited about working hard is something else. I can tell you, for me, that's some of my creative writing activities. But what is it that gets you excited and motivated to work hard? What do you love to bust your balls doing? Think about that. Next question. If you could live anywhere, where would it be? You can go almost anywhere on Zoom, it seems. We discovered that in the last year and a half or so. I've personally checked out a lot of different scenes, met a lot of different folks on video chat than I would have in the past. But obviously a lot of people are missing travel. I was at LAX last week. It was a mess. Gridlock. Just sitting there for half an hour because so many people are experiencing post-COVID era exuberance, which involves wanting to get out and see the world and do stuff and be places, be people that they weren't able to be when we were all locked down. So, if you could live anywhere, where would it be? Living somewhere is different from traveling there. Some places might be better left unlived in. Vacation spots that are associated in the mind with unwinding and leisure and fun may not maintain that kind of status and charm if you move in there and you have to do all of your work there and take out the garbage and go through the unpleasant obligations of the day-to-day. Maybe there are places that are better suited for that. I know when I was brutally depressed, I can't say I enjoyed living in Chicago in the wintertime, but you know what? There was a certain kind of appropriateness to it. So maybe what in your world that you're living in now internally, what is the best compliment for that that you can experience externally? What is the best place for you to be, being who you are at the moment? If you could live anywhere, where would it be? What is your biggest fear? Now, I think what your biggest fear is probably related to your biggest want, and both of those things can be very hard to acknowledge. And I think sometimes you can put yourself in the way of things that you're really afraid of and get things that you really want because of some kind of magic at play running in the background. I don't fully understand it. It would lose a lot of its charm if I did. But before you start going after what you want, before you run away from what you're afraid of, it's worth the trouble to ask, what do you really want? And what are you really afraid of? The answers may be informative. Things are getting pretty hot right now, and I don't think it's just me. I can feel it happening for you, too. You can feel that heat rising through your body. So you connect very deeply on a cellular level. And I'm going to propose that we take things to the next level, because I think it's on and popping. I'm seeing the green lights. And I don't want to wait, and I don't think you want to wait either. So let's not. Let's do this. Let's do something hot. Let's do something dangerous. If one of us is stressed out over capacity, let's talk about it. Let's say what's going on inside. Without being mean about it, and without anyone trying to fix it. Just be there in that space, although it may be awkward and unpleasant. It's also kind of hot because you can turn anything into a fetish. The kind of creativity that you have and that you've developed over the years of finding the magic in life. You know what? It does not need to be normal to fight. There's conflict. Sometimes it's annoying, sometimes it's kind of sexy. That conflict does not need to result in a fight. It can be treated as a mutual issue that can be solved together without being mean. And sometimes with being tender, but also playful and hot. Conflict, too, can be a source of the good kind of friction in a hot, hot relationship. And in hot and heavy situations such as these, sometimes feelings will get hurt. It's the reality of what happens when we're sealed in skin. We can only have very imperfect and approximate ways of communicating and understanding each other's experience. But I can tell you right now, if your feelings are hurt, I'm gonna care about that. And I wanna talk about that. Even if it's uncomfortable for me, even if your hurt feelings are not necessarily a byproduct of my having done something wrong, or vice versa. Well, let's sit in that space, as awkward as it may be. And I can tell you, if you have done something that hurt my feelings, whether it was wrong or just careless, or maybe I was being too sensitive. But when that happens, it should not be a problem to apologize sincerely. Recognize the harm. Not make excuses. Committing to doing things differently in the future. I can offer you that. I want that from you. I want it so much. I stay up thinking about it. I think about it hundreds of times a day. Because it's hot. Accountability. That determination to grow and be better versions of who we are. And if you have done something that hurt me, even if it was wrong, I can trust you to fix it. There's no need for you to self-flagellate. Just come on into the heat and be in that space. And be safe with me again, as I am safe with you. If I'm upset with you, I know I can and should communicate that without being mean to you. I expect no less from you. Because you're an adult. And I'm an adult. And we know what adults do when adults get together. And things get hot. Sparks fly. Friction is felt. And that's that real talk. Feelings like anger, hurt, and sadness can be welcomed and held with compassion in this hot, hot space. While we also recognize that we're responsible for our actions when we're in those emotions. And if those actions are hurtful, we have to own that. We have to develop ourselves and grow from that understanding. And if those actions are sexy as hell, we own that as well. Because we've earned that. We know that. We feel that deep in the cells of our bodies. And that's a hot business right there. And I know you've got other stuff in your life, and I'm excited about that. about the richness. I don't get it all. I don't necessarily want to be part of everything that you're involved with. Some of it may not be interesting to me. But I support the richness that you bring into your life. That's hot, and that's beautiful, and that's sexy, and that's what gives you your depths and all those dimensions that I'm crazy about. And I crave the time that we spend together, but I don't want to monopolize your life because that would make you less interesting. The parts of you that I don't understand are where a lot of your magic lies. And I know I feel the same way when I see how you look at me. I feel appreciated for all of the things in my own world and my own richness that you don't see, that add that complexity and mystery to the times that we do spend together. And when things get popping off, I'm here. I'm present for that. And I can see and feel and know from you that that is mutual. And I'm excited to hear you talk about things that you're interested in, even if I'm not intrinsically interested in those things. Because your smile and your laughter, your go-to catchphrases, and your sense of humor and your sideways look on the world, I revere and celebrate those things and honor your experience in its differentness from mine. Because that's what really helps me stay sane, is sharing those experiences with you. What's really hot, I think, is when you help me protect my boundaries. Because you know that's where a lot of the juice in my life comes from, is learning to trust myself to set healthy boundaries and defend them. I don't need to defend them from you. You don't bring a battering ram to those boundary conversations. You honor my boundaries as I honor yours. And that's hot. Because all it takes is for you to communicate your boundaries. You may have to defend them from other people, but I'm here to help you defend them. Because it can and should be and is safe to talk about all kinds of things. Whether it's relationship structure, radical wants and desires. We can get crazy in here, in this space, and know that it's still all full of the best kind of love that's beyond manipulation, that's outside of the games, that breaks the rules and breaks through the structures. And even if none of that is present in my life, I'm going to let it be known from me to you that I'm still standing. And you may never know what that's like, because in my experience of you, sometimes your blood, like winter, freezes. It's just like ice. And in those moments, there's a cold, lonely light that shines from you. And I don't think your long-term prospects are so good. I believe that you may wind up like the wreck you hide behind that mask you use. And that's sad and makes me angry and frustrated and scared for you. And my habit of mind is to try to help you in those moments, to jump in and defend you and try to clean things up. But what I've discovered is that if that does not go both ways, it's not sustainable and is meaningless. Obviously, everything is impermanent in the world, and we should celebrate the fun that we had, the tenderness that was there. But not perpetually, and not when the bad begins to outweigh the good. Like when I know that you are not believing in me the way I'm believing in you, when you probably think that this fool could never win, but you're in for a surprise, because look at me, I'm coming back again, and now I'm feeling myself just like I thought. That shipment of love that I knew was on the way has arrived, and I got a taste for love in a simple way, not overcomplicating it, being on the spot, present in the moment, tasting it. And if you need to know why I'm still standing, if you have questions about what's going on my side, if you want to try to knock it down or trivialize what I'm experiencing, I invite you to just fade away. Because you need to know I'm still standing. Better than I ever did, in fact. And from what I've been told, I'm looking like a true survivor. If I said it myself, it would sound like I was bragging, but I have it from reliable sources that I'm looking pretty good and feeling like a little kid, jumping around and doing ridiculous stuff and enjoying that, freeing that child, because now it has found what it needs. Its needs are simple. It has a taste for love in a simple way. And having experienced that, a lot of the fight, flight, freeze, and the pain, and the recriminations, the desire for revenge, all of that just disintegrates when that kid is out running on the beach. And as that kid is feeling playful, the adult is feeling strong, knowing that I'm still standing after all this time. And picking up the pieces of my life without you on my mind. You were a distraction for a long time, and now I'm liberating that energy to find out what's still around, find out what's left, reach out to some folks, rebuild, regrow, bring it back, get back in it, because I'm still standing. And that's after a weird and hard couple of years. And there have been multiple times during that slice of time in which I never could have hoped to win. It seemed so far off. And I felt so sad and so lost. And I could see you were out the door. You were starting down the road to leaving me again. And I always was terrified and sad when it felt like that was happening, but I also had this odd sense of optimism that perhaps this was the last time that I wouldn't have to hear the threats you made that were meant to cut me down anymore. And it took me a long time to move into my own agency on this, to know that what I really needed to do was send you into the cornfield. I kept hoping you would just do it yourself. Part of me was terrified of that. Part of me did not want to be left, did not want to be rejected. Another part was hoping you would make it easy on me and just GTFO, go do something else for a while. But now, I have accepted my agency. I know that this power is with me, and much as I kept my head down and worked hard for 5 years to develop a work ethic, financial security, I'm applying that same kind of discipline to weeding out the clownishness that you brought into my world. Because our love was a circus, looking back on it. So much of it was just blatantly ridiculous and horrifying and painful. And now I know that you often took the role of the clown. If our love was just a circus, you'd be a clown right now as well. Moving on down the road to whatever the next circus is that you're going to participate in. But meanwhile, I'm still standing, better than I ever did, looking like a true survivor, feeling like a little kid. I'm still standing after all this time, picking up the pieces of my life without you on my mind. I'm still standing, feeling pretty good about it. Feeling tough and playful at the same time. I'm still standing. I've been a little depressed lately, but I am getting some work done. One of the things about depression is that if you feel like you're not going to enjoy anything that you do, you might as well do the things that you've been putting off and just plow through rough drafts of something you've been wanting to work on. It's going to be a slog. You're going to hate it. You're not going to like the product. You're not going to like the first draft, at least. But you'll have time to work on it later. As long as you're going to hate whatever you do, you might as well get done some things that need to get done. I will say I am doing things. It's a quick update on the previous episode where I was confused about how I can affect the world. I did get involved with something in my community. I sat on a Zoom call with the Los Angeles Planning Commission for about 3 hours in order to get on for about 60 seconds and advocate for the Reese Davidson Project, which is something that is proposed to be built on a parking lot here in Venice, which is where I live. That is going to be housing for people that need it. There's going to be storefront action down on the street level for some entrepreneurship and maybe a sense of community. And it's going to look like a big boat. In honor of the fact that Venice is close to the ocean. And I believe there should be something like the Reese Davidson built off of every train stop in Los Angeles. I think housing is a human right. I think the current housing situation is a crisis, and I'm doing something about it. I'm advocating for this thing that is controversial, that has a lot of opposition in the community from people that don't want a big boat near where they live that's full of people that they might not like, that they kind of would rather just wipe off of the ontological chalkboard, but, you know, those people are here and they're people, and they need a place to live. So I advocated for that. And in my off hours, I have, as I mentioned, been exploring the wetlands near Marina del Rey, getting back out in nature, sometimes taking off my shoes, feeling sand between my toes, picking up sand, letting it run through my fingers, pulled by gravity back down to the earth. I'm doing stuff. I'm not giving up. I've been in and out of my Buddhist meditation practice. I recently created some ash to use in magical rituals from an old copy of a Buddhist magazine that I had around that I'd read through many times. I'm not sure exactly what kind of Buddhism I practice. If there is a kind of Buddhism that forbids burning a copy of Lion's Roar magazine to make magical ash with which to concentrate the earth when summoning the spirit guides and elders, then that is not the kind of Buddhism that I practice. Because that is something I did. And I found that setting something on fire is one of those things that seems a lot easier when you're not trying to do it. I used some rubbing alcohol as lighter fluid, and it still took some trial and error, some time and effort to get that paper to burn, to create the ash that I needed. I also threw in some napkins from a vegan vegetarian restaurant that I love that I got takeout from many times. That was one of those little rituals that helped sustain me through the difficult times of the lockdowns and the quarantines. And I burned that too to create a little bit more ash out of something else that I loved that I could use to consecrate the earth when summoning spirit guides and elders. So I am active. I'm out there doing stuff. This is the time for that. I've also been thinking about death a lot. Because it's interesting. It's the big topic that's on a lot of our minds, whether we want it to be or not. The more we ignore it, the closer we get. And if we pay attention to it, We're still getting closer. There's no stopping it. My deep down belief is that there's no particular need to hasten it. I have behaved sometimes in the past as though I have a death drive, with the heavy drinking and not treating myself so well. If you are thinking about suicide, you're not alone. Help is available. You can call 1-800-SUICIDE. I've done it many times. One time I spoke with a very well-intentioned woman who suggested that I read the book Think Big and Kick Ass by Donald Trump as a way to build up my confidence. So you might get something out of the experience too. If you check in with the show in future installments, you may find that I'm more confident, a little bit less weepy, maybe more put together. Maybe I put some more time into structuring the show than I did this time. But this time, this is what you get. And I thank you for holding your criticisms. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you be safe and protected. And may you live with an open heart. this has been Emerson Dameron's Medicated Minutes on Kaechong, kaechongradio.org, 1630 AM. If you're around Chinatown in Los Angeles, otherwise you can listen on the web. Dedicated site for the show is medicated-minutes.com. The music is by Chris Rogers. Everything else is by me. My name is Emerson Dameron. I'm the writer, producer, director, the talent, and the guy behind the scenes on Emerson Dameron's Medicated Minutes. Levity saves lives. Good luck out there. Get a big bucket of self-love and just slather it all over yourself. Dunk your head in there. Hold it in. And then spill it. Because we all need some of that love too right now.